Blog Talk Radio.
Today, Jean-Jacques Rousseau, the great French philosopher, Elizabeth Barrett Browning, author, Walter Huston, born in Canada, like Ted Cruz, Walter Huston was a better actor, to say the least. His son was John Huston, who was born in Nevada. Walter Huston was a great actor, and he's best known for starring with Humphrey Bogart in Treasure of the Sierra Madre. Great airplane designer, Anthony Fokker, the Dutchman who invented the Fokker airplane. Holland was neutral during World War I, but in World War II, they were allied with the Allies and were immediately overrun by the Germans in a blitzkrieg. Ian Paisley, who was Protestant minister of Northern Ireland, who was opposed to the Catholics, and he finally reconciled. He died recently. He was a member of Parliament, the English Parliament. The co-discoverer of DNA, James Watson, was born on this day. And a great writer, musician, conductor, Andre Previn, who was also married to the redhead, who was also married to, excuse me, Woody Allen. Forgot her name, but I'm getting slow. Among the deaths today, Richard the Lionhearted died at 41, and Francis Walsingham, who was probably the beginner, the origin of the British spy system, like MI5, MI6, and of course it's appropriate because we have the Walker family spies who were a whole family of spies, naval officer and family, and the son, John Walker Jr., stole bags of naval communications, which cost the Navy, I understand, about $500 million and was irreparable damage. And for all of his trouble in luring his whole family into this spy operation, John Walker only got $100,000 from the Soviet spy masters. Among the deaths today, in 1968, Bobby Hutton, Black Panther, was killed. Greer Garson died at 92. She has a great voice. She starred with Walter Pidgeon in several movies. One of them was Madame Curie. Great actress. He had a great voice. Lived a long time, too. Among the events today, the Cape Colony was founded and settled in 1652, later became South Africa. We had also the slave revolt. There was slaves in New York State. This was 1712. In New York again in 1830, Joseph Smith and others founded the Mormon Church. And in 1869, we had the or 1886, Vancouver, British Columbia, not Vancouver, Washington. Vancouver, British Columbia was incorporated. In 1889, Eastman Kodak sold his first camera. They've since had major problems up there in Rochester, New York. But they did make great cameras, and they also invented the film Kodakolor. 1896, there was the first modern Olympic Games in Athens, Greece. And 1909, the first American credit union was set up. And also, we had the North Pole was discovered. The credit was given solely to Robert Peary, but he was accompanied by a black, Matthew Henson, who had relationships with an Eskimo woman, and his kids are still living today. And Matthew Henson, after about over 100 years, finally got recognition. In 1912, the electric starter for cars was invented. In 1917, on this day, the United States declared war on Germany. This is Woodrow Wilson's war. 1925, we had the first successful airplane around the world trip. It started in Seattle, where Boeing is headquartered, and also I understand they're dropping about 5,000 workers. Very interesting. And in 1930, Dan White his name comes up associated with Twinkies. The Hostess Twinkie was invented by a guy named James Dewar. Dewar is also the name of a Scotch whiskey. 1931, one of the most notorious trials in American history, the Scottsboro trial, where black youths in a railroad car were hitching a ride on the railroad, like a lot of kids during the Depression. Yeah, this was in Alabama, and this was a no-no, and the girls were forced by the rednecks to accuse the blacks of raping them. It was a notorious trial in which they were railroaded into state prison, and of course the NAACP brought down one of the top Jewish lawyers from New York to overturn that verdict. In 1938, Teflon was invented. Now, Scott Walker, the governor of Wisconsin, shares a name with a lot of Walkers. His fellow governor, of course, he's dead now, was Jan Walker in Illinois, who was convicted of public corruption. There's also John Walker and the Walker family, when family of spies did a lot of damage. The name Walker is associated with a lot of corruption. And then, of course, there's John Lynn Walker, the young teenager who became involved with the Taliban and was accused of being involved in the murder of American soldiers in Afghanistan. He is now in a federal prison in Terre Haute, but he came from a fairly well-to-do family in Marin County, and reportedly, according to, I think it was a Newsweek article, he was homosexually seduced by a Pakistani Muslim at the mosque here in Marin County, California. Now, watch those of you may not have caught this, candidate Cruz the other night was interviewed by Fox TV's Megyn Kelly. She asked some very good questions. And she repeatedly asked him, will you support Trump if he's the nominee? And Cruz just dodged the question and just plain ignored her. And of course, Scott Walker avoided it, too. Of course, he may be facing, I understand he's got some public corruption scandals in his background. So it's going to be very interesting. Also, Wisconsin has never produced presidential winner. So this is going to be interesting. They did have great and true progressives like the La Follette family, but that was back in the 20s. Now there's this question of Hillary and Heidi Cruz and the Goldman Sachs financial connection and all the corruption and connected to that. And, you know, do you really want to elect these people? And, of course, now Ted Cruz's name has come up in National Enquirer magazine and others. And some people are saying, is this guy a Republican Gary Hart? Well, now phone numbers have been leaked from Palfrey's phone books. He was the D.C. madam. And one phone number was traced to a Super 8 motel in Washington, D.C. on New York Avenue. That phone number is 202-543-7400. It's in that book. There are also other phone numbers from Texas, allegedly connected to Ted Cruz, and also Vallejo, California. We don't know who that is yet. Now, there's also, talk about sexual misconduct, there's also the question of Hillary and the Homer relationship. What is it really? Now, Bill Clinton is quoted in a couple of books by critical authors claiming that Hillary likes is a lesbian. These are the allegations in this book. I think it's one of her critics that wrote about this. And Bill has reportedly said, and I'm not going to use the exact word, that in effect that Hillary likes that aspect of women. And there, of course, there's this questionable marriage of Huma and Wiener, who is also a sexual exhibitionist. I think that's a charitable word, considering what, you know, he's showing his organs on Facebook or one of those social media networks on the internet. And there's a growing question about this, what we call the Goldman Sachs troika of these women, Hillary, Huma, and Heidi Cruz. You know, how people can vote for that is beyond me, to say the least. Now, also, this is interesting. For the last 7 years, people have been critical of Barack Obama and the questions of where was he really born. Was it in Kenya, as some of the newspapers from Kenya have printed, or was he born in Hawaii? Neil Abercrombie, the governor of Hawaii, claims that he was present at the birth. And there's no evidence of that in any media. You would think that some of the media would have, especially newspapers in Hawaii, like the Advertiser, would have an article referring to Abercrombie's presence at the birth, but yet nobody can find this. It was also discovered that the birth certificate was allegedly forged by a Canadian web operative, and that's kind of gone under the radar. Also, on the cracking of the San Bernardino terrorists' cell phones, it was our understanding that the British there may have cracked, provided that information to the FBI to crack the code on those cell phones and get that information. And also that information, that ability to crack that phone may be used, that technique may be used in other phones, and to get information that law enforcement across the country is trying to get out of these cell phones that have been locked based on the privacy demands and claims of the manufacturer. In this case, I think it's Apple. Excuse me. Same cold. Now, also, the question of was Chris Matthew setting up Trump in that interview in which Trump blundered into this comment about abortion and punishment of women. A lot of people don't know that Chris Matthews comes from reportedly a Catholic family in Philadelphia, and his father was a court reporter in the Philadelphia court system, which is another questionable and unethical court system in the country. And the way that Matthews has been interviewing these people, he's coming across like a Nancy Grace. Nancy Grace is this former prosecutor who has this crime program on cable TV, and she comes across like trying to act as a media person, but behaving like a prosecutor. And this is the impression that we have from Chris Matthews. Also, the fact that why he is even on NBC or MSNBC when he is asking people, if they want to be on his show, they have to make a campaign contribution to his wife, who's running for Congress. Play to pay. I thought we had an end to that, but apparently not. It's still alive and well with some of these people in the media. And, of course, Chris Matthew comes across as a capon, as once described as you know, I'll leave it at that. Anyway, a moral eunuch has been one description of him. And when he makes statements like Obama, he was so enamored of Obama that he had feelings down his leg. And I mean, what is this kind of kink? Since we're talking about kink, the San Francisco politicians on the board of supervisors, as we call them, has decided that they're going to turn the San Francisco Armory, which was supposed to be providing shelter for homeless people here in San Francisco, instead was sold to a Hungarian male prostitution video company out of Budapest. And anyway, one of the gay supervisors, this guy Wiener, no relationship to Anthony Wiener, but another Wiener who is gay and a politician, wants to have entertainment at the Armory, and the neighbors in the area at 1800 Mission don't want this. Of course, what's going on in San Francisco is that none of these people who are elected people have business backgrounds. They have agendas and they have attitudes, but they don't have any business backgrounds. It's surprising that with all the problems we're having here in California with huge pension costs, so-called affordable housing, real estate racketeers coming in here and saddling the taxpayers with these projects, which are financed by municipal bonds. And who's going to pay these bonds off? And, of course, these guys got their money, and some of them are allegedly and are suspected of being involved in the Panama Papers scandal. And, of course, we brought this up several years ago, that some of these so-called affordable housing real estate corporations, bogus nonprofits as we call them, have changed their bylaws, which supposedly permit them to operate outside of California and outside of the United States. So this is one of them was Mission Housing, which is another family-run outfit, also allegedly run by the Mexican mafia. Excuse me. So these things have been going on, and of course the morons in the media, as they're called, they ignore and they omit and they alter things when they can't ignore them or omit them. So these are the problems with the media. Also, it's more and more people are ignoring the print newspapers in this area, and some people are throwing or injecting slots in the paper machines around San Francisco and jamming the machine so you can't get the paper. And also, we don't see anymore Chronicle newspaper trucks. This may be, and when we talked to one of the drivers, he said that the major papers are cutting back on their truck deliveries, and so now we see people with their personal cars putting a few newspapers in these boxes when these boxes can be open despite the slots that are put in them. So this is what's going on. This may be the reaction of people getting tired of being lied to by corporate and alternative media. Now, it's interesting that Monday we talked about Ali Bhutto, who was executed in Pakistan. And, of course, I did do an interview with Brigadier Ingalls, who was the commandant of the Pakistan Military Academy after he left the British Army. And we asked him about this relationship of the Bhutto family to Pakistan. So we do have that interview. It's one of those rarities. The project we've been working on, and I had promised this to people, is that Rules for Reformers, it's a political antidote to Rules for Radicals, which was the Saul Alinsky Bible back during the 70s, which had a lot of good information in it, and I recommend it. You want to understand where a lot of this is coming from. Getting back to Wisconsin, one of the great, what I call a civic statesman, Robert La Follette, was a senator, and he gave this speech back in the 20s. It's very relevant. Every citizen must do his duty.
America is not made. It's in the making. It has today to meet an impending crisis, menacing as any in the nation's history. It does not call a sound to arms, but it is nonetheless a call to patriotism and to higher ideals in citizenship. the patriotic citizenship of the country must take its stand and demand of wealth that it shall conduct its business lawfully, that it shall no longer furnish the most flagrant examples of persistent violation of statutes while invoking the protection of the courts, that it shall not destroy the equality of opportunity, the right to the pursuit of happiness guaranteed by the Constitution, that it shall keep its powerful hands off from legislative manipulation, that it shall not corrupt, but shall obey the government that guards and protects its rights. Mere passive citizenship is not enough. Men must be aggressive for what is right if government is to be saved from those who are aggressive for what is wrong. There is work for everyone. The field is large. It is a glorious service, this service for the country. The call comes to every citizen. It is an unending struggle to make and keep government representative. Each one should count it a patriotic duty to build at least a part of his life into the life of his country, to do his share in the making of America according to the plan of the fathers.
And that was Robert La Follette, a great true progressive. Now, again, we repeat this, you keep hearing progressive being used by media people and political activists. Now, the progressives came out of the 19th century. There were people like Robert La Follette of Wisconsin, George Norris of Nebraska, Fiorello LaGuardia of New York. There were others. And of course, Hiram Johnson, the governor of California. They were all, it's interesting, they were all Republicans. Now, what these progressives, what their agenda was number one, they would limit immigration. Some of them were warned to stop immigration from China and Japan. They wanted to keep Indians on the reservation. They wanted to control the corporations and to control the banks. And they were for the middle class. And I guess you could say for white people. Now, after during World War II, the FDR administration was allied with, and Churchill was allied with the Russians and Stalin. And, of course, we forgot or we put aside our fear of communism at that time. Our greatest fear was during the 30s when there was a depression. After the war, when Stalin's intentions became unequivocally clear, his armies were in Eastern Europe and they were imposing their will on Czechoslovakia, Bulgaria, Romania, Poland, the Baltic states. The American Communist Party went into their political closet and came out as progressives. They're not the same progressives, nowhere near what people like La Follette, Fiorello LaGuardia, George Norris, those people were back in the 19th century. So the term has been polluted and co-opted by what some people consider these closet communists like Bernie Sanders. Now, there's a new bumper poster out. We saw a copy of it today, and we'll put it up on our political Amicus Veritas YouTube site. I'm still trying to get over whatever this is bothering my throat. So we're going to do our usual. We're also going to, we've got that news clip of Bill O'Reilly talking about this woman who was the aunt of Tapuk, I forgot his name. She's the woman in New Jersey, Chesimard, who murdered a New Jersey cop and was legally tried in a New Jersey court, state court, which had jurisdiction. She was convicted. She then filed an appeal in the federal court to remove the case and to overturn the conviction, and the court said no. So she fled to Cuba, where she's been, and of course, Mr. O, when he was down there, did not ask Raul Castro, to extradite her back to the United States to face the trial that she's been avoiding. And surprisingly, Ted Cruz, Rubio, and others have not asked President Obama, we'll give him that distinction, to demand of Raul Castro that he return, or Fidel return, Jesse Mar of the United States and any other terrorists and murderers who have sought shelter down there in Cuba, fleeing American justice. So this is something that's been ignored, and I noticed Cruz hadn't brought it up. Anyway, we're going to end with our usual, and also we'll have that news clip Friday at 3:30 Pacific Standard Time. So we're going to end with our usual politics and poker.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got so much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Hey, Tony, what are you
going to
do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too.
Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big ace.
Ace bets.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush. Nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of Jack, bet up.
Politics and poker, shuffle up the cards and find the joker. Neither game's for children, neither game is rough. Decisions, decisions, like
who to pick,
how to play, not to bet,
where's the call of duck?
All right now, fellas, politics or poker, which is more important?
Paraphrase.
Yep, 2 minutes.
Little trade, good as gold.
Yep, in a minute.
I'll stay.
Raise your five.
I'll call.
I'll hold.
I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Say, I'm in.
Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Try Michael Panyashinkovich. I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out. I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about Dave Zimmerman?
Davey's too bright.
What about Walt Gustafson?
Walt died last night.
How about Frank Monahan?
What about George Gale?
Frank ain't a citizen and George is in jail.
We could run out Wallenstein.
He's only 23.
What about Ed Peterson?
You idiot! That's me!
Politics and poker! Politics and poker! Play for a pot that's mediocre! Politics and poker! Rubbing neck and neck! If politics seems more predictable, that's because usually you can stack the deck!
Peter Paul Brazola will be back Friday, 3:30 Pacific Standard Time. We're trying that. So go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AMICUSVERITAS. Good night. Stay safe.